Hello there, and happy Friday Facebook mailbag to you. I'm Drew Doherty, this is Nick Skirfield, and we're answering your questions on Facebook, like this one from Jason Williams. I know it's been one game, but which young receiver is pulling away from the group, LaStar Jean or Keyshawn Martin? I feel as if Jean showed his ability to be a threat. Well, it's tough to say pull away in one game in the same sentence. I think both guys have their upsides that are different, you know, and both guys struggled at times. LaStar Jean looked really good on that would-be touchdown catch, but couldn't control the ball, couldn't corral it in. But I can't really answer that yet. I need a bigger sample size to answer your question correctly.
Yeah, both of those guys have put themselves into a rotation, a four-receiver rotation, and Texans coach Gary Kubiak said the Texans are going to use that this year with Andre Johnson and Kevin Walter, the veteran starters. LaStar Jean and Keyshawn Martin are going to be very much involved, and we saw that on Sunday. You know, Keyshawn Martin was targeted on that first drive, had a drop on a catch that Andre Johnson said he thinks if Keyshawn gets thrown that pass 20 times, he's going to catch it 20 times. He just happened to drop it on Sunday. He's a guy who showed a lot of talent in the preseason, who they're expecting big things of. He's got to play not like a rookie, though, and he can't make those kind of mistakes, and he knows that. You know, LaStar Jean, he had his first catch was a 9-yard catch for a first down that he made on third down to keep alive a drive, and then the other one, the would-be touchdown catch you mentioned, great concentration shown by him, great job of getting his feet in bounds. You know, the Texans showed a lot of confidence in him by throwing deep to him, you know, from I think it was a 34-yard line where they threw that pass. So didn't come down with the ball, so, you know, it was ruled an incompletion upon review. But he showed the kind of playmaking ability that he has, which he did all preseason long. And don't forget about Devere Posey. You know, he's behind those guys right now. He was inactive on Sunday, the rookie third-round pick from Ohio State. But they expect him to be a contributor this year. You know, he's continuing to progress. He missed a lot of time last year at Ohio State because of suspensions. Show talent in the preseason, and he's a guy I think before the season's done, you're going to see helping out this team as well.
Okie doke. Bargava Reddy wants to know, will Alan Ball be splitting the reps at corner with Kareem Jackson? If you're saying 50-50, no, he will not be splitting 50-50 with Kareem. He will get in the rotation some, maybe not even as much as Jason Allen did last year, but yeah, you're going to see some of Alan Ball.
Yeah, it's interesting. There was a question about how much Alan Ball would play, or would there be a guy to play that Jason Allen type of role with Kareem Jackson this year. Jason Allen rotated every third series or so with Kareem Jackson. It seemed like the last couple years he signed with the Bengals in free agency. Kareem Jackson has made a lot of steps forward this year in his third season. We heard Pro Bowl cornerback Jonathan Joseph talking about it on Tuesday on the Texans Verizon Players show on Sports Radio 610. He said he's where he needs to be in his third year. He's not sticking out for the wrong reasons on defense. He's making more plays on the ball this offseason. Had an interception on a tip pass in the first game. He's still got to improve, but he's making the improvements that they expect, and he's looking more and more like a first-round pick, I think, the longer in his career that he goes. Alan Ball, though, is a guy who, after the two starters, Joseph and Jackson, after Bryce McCain, who's essentially a starter as a nickel corner, he's the next guy. Brandon Harris and Rock Carmichael were both inactive for the first game, which tells you what the coaches think about what Alan Ball can do, and he got out there a lot on defense and on special teams.
All right, we got one from George Nicholas Sakiris. He sent in a lot of questions, but he's got a beef with us on this one. He says, you guys have not answered my previous questions related to Plaxico Burress. Why didn't the Texans go after him? It's a combination of things, Nicholas. He's 35, but more importantly, he'd be very expensive in relation to what you have on the team salary cap-wise. And most importantly, they like the young receivers that they have, the guys that we were just talking about moments ago, LaStar Jean, Devere Posey, Keyshawn Martin. Not necessarily in that order, but they like that combination of guys. So I think those are the main reasons you don't see Burress in a Texans uniform right now.
Yeah, the Texans made a concerted, and I thought you were talking to me when you said Nicholas a second ago.
No, I was
but
not.
It looks like a very nice Greek name there. But I would say, you know, the Texans made a concerted effort to go young this offseason at wide receiver, aside from their two starters, you know, Johnson and Walter, both 10th year veterans now. They'd had kind of the same guys at receiver for the last few years. They wanted to go in a new direction. They did that, drafting Posey in the third round, drafting Keyshawn Martin in the fourth round out of Michigan State. And then LaStar Jean is essentially a rookie in his redshirt year, basically redshirt freshman year, you could say, because of last year. Mm-hmm. He absorbed the offense when he was on IR. So they like the talent from these young guys, like you said. And the Texans weren't the only team not to sign Plaxico Burress. You know, there are 31 other teams that didn't sign him as well. So they've got their veteran guys that they feel good about. They brought in Bryant Johnson, a veteran who played with the team last year, knew the system, to see if he could stick on the roster. Ended up that they went with all the young guys who didn't have any catches in their NFL career, and now LaStar Jean has one. Keyshawn Martin should be getting his very soon, and like I said, Posey, I think, before too long as well.
But it's a valid question by Nicholas Sakiris.
Absolutely.
By George Nicholas Sakiris, because he did have 8 touchdown catches last year. He had 45 total. So we understand why the question's asked. So thanks for sending it in. Gary Reynolds, this is an interesting one, Nick. He has this one. Is Schaub really worth the investment? With a couple question marks. And then he follows it with, P.S., Texans 49ers Super Bowl this year. Remember who called it first, people. Okay, Gary, that's a very conflicted question and statement right there, because if you're predicting the Texans and 49ers in the Super Bowl, you think that the Texans will have a capable quarterback. That means Matt Schaub is a capable quarterback, because that's what's going on. And yes, Schaub is definitely worth the investment. He's got the time in the system. You see how the offense clicks with him. You saw how it was operating at full strength last year. 10 points per game, better than when anybody else was in the lineup. So, yes, Matt Schaub is worth it.
Yeah, the Texans made the investment because they think he's worth it. And, you know, I actually talked to General Manager Rick Smith earlier this week for the weekly conversation we do with him on HoustonTexans.com on Texans TV here. And, you know, I asked him about the thought that the Texans might wait till after the season to do something with Schaub. His deal is going to expire after this year. Maybe they wait and make him show that he can be healthy again after the injury last year, the other injuries in his past. Smith said the injuries are a part of the game, but Schaub, you know, obviously being the quarterback, such an integral part of the organization, they want to keep those kind of guys in place. And he said when Matt Schaub is healthy and on the field, this offense is very, very productive. And you mentioned the stat last year. Schaub had maybe his most efficient season as a quarterback last year. He was second in the AFC in pass rating, behind only Tom Brady, second in yards per attempt, behind only Tom Brady. You know, he led the AFC in quarterback rating this preseason. He's back from the injury. They have a lot of belief in him. They believe he is a quarterback who can take this team to a championship and lead them through the playoffs. So that's why they made the investment in him, and they've now got him here for 4 more years.
All right. Nick, I'm trying not to show favoritism, but when people ask really good questions, they get in the mailbag, and the Battle Red Freaks, again, have delivered.
2 weeks in a row.
And they also have good nicknames. They say Double D and Nickalicious. Feels great to open the season with a big win. It does. Really freaking cool stat is that the Texans are already plus 4 in the turnover column, meaning they force 4 turnovers, and they haven't turned the ball over at all. In the turnover call, Cody's first tackle of the game was great. Okay, awesome, but we got to go with JJ. Can we expect a consistent level of turnovers throughout the season? And he follows it up with fan hard, meaning keep on being a good fan. As far as going plus 4 every game, boy, that'd be something if they were able to do that. But the Texans were solid last year at staying on the positive side of things there. So, yeah, I think if you know, you keep taking care of the ball on offense and Wade Phillips, Bulls on parade, do what they're capable of, I think you could probably see a plus 2, plus 3 on average per game.
I think if they're plus 4 every game, that'd have to be some kind of obliteration of an NFL record. But, you know, that is one area I think the defense could improve from last year. They were near the top in just about everything. Not quite as high in turnovers that they forced. 4 in the first game is certainly a good pace to be on. It's a very loaded question, though, from our friends, the Battle Red Freaks. Going to go over a couple of these things here. First of all, I like that they capitalized the word freaking. Yeah. To emphasize the play on words of their name. You skipped, when you read the question, Marvelous Mark in parentheses. That's a reference to last week we had him on the mailbags, the last question.
Oh, yes, that's right.
And they had nicknames for you and I. Mark Vandermeer was co-hosting with me in your absence and didn't have a nickname for Mark, so he was feeling kind of left out. So I'm sure Mark appreciates the shout-outs there.
Good stuff, yes.
Sean Cody's tackle, the first episode of On the Nose,
yeah.
This came out this week. He mentioned that as being the most important play of the game, but obviously J.J. Watt had a pretty big game as well. But as far as the turnovers go, you know, it's a great way to get the season started. That keyed the defense, the whole team, really, in the week one game against the Dolphins, 24 second quarter points off of those four turnovers they forced. I think you're going to continue to see pressure. You're seeing guys more comfortable in this defense. J.J. Watt said on Wednesday, it's not as much thinking. It's just guys going out there and having fun, no hesitation, because they're more comfortable in the defense. And they've got great chemistry. They've got great playmakers. It's going to be a fun season to watch for the Bulls on parade.
I think we've got great chemistry with the list, the viewers. I think it's going to be a championship season on the nose. And we thank you for watching. We'll see you next Friday.